Welcome to the Crossroads of Liberty.
All right, so today we're going to be talking about the removal of statues, whether it's good or bad, how we should go about them if we are going to take them down, and what the consequences of removing them could or could not be. So does anyone want to start?
Yeah, I guess the first thing I would say that I heard from someone that I thought was like a kind of an interesting perspective that gave me new insight on this was supposedly most of these statues aren't actually from like the times following the Civil War. They were actually made during segregation and the Jim Crow period as a way to intimidate black people into being like, this is our land, this is our place. The ideals of the Confederacy is the ideals that we want to uphold of segregation and division. So I think that that made me a little more understanding of the people that want to take them down. Because my take on it is, while I think most of us disagree with the Confederacy and some of us disagree with the Union just as much, I still see the statue as not only a monument of history, which obviously it is, but also it's art, it's a sculpture, and art can be evil, art can be gross, art can be of things that's bad, but I still think if someone wants to preserve it for the purpose of art, I don't really have an issue with that. Like, for example, there's actually a Vladimir Lenin statue in Seattle, and the officials wanted to take it down, but it's on private property, which is kind of ironic that Vladimir Lenin's statue is being protected by private property rights, the very things he fought against. But I do think it's interesting to kind of consider that. I do think that kind of changes, not the narrative per se, but I think it changes kind of the view that people could have on it if they understand, like, it's not like these are statues that are part of our history from, like, the 1800s. They were thrown up, like, 80 years ago. I still pretty much think that if someone wants to buy it and keep it in their private estate, I don't have an issue with that. Also, I think we could put them in a museum. I mean, because like I said, it's whether you like what the subject is, it's still art, it's still a sculpture. There's still, like, creativity and workmanship and craftsmanship that went into forming the statue. So I think that I don't care if they're in public. I just think literally cutting them up and ripping them down is just a waste. Even if we, like, take them down and then melt the metal down and like, put that funding towards something. Like, something, other than just destroying it and throwing it in the lake for no reason. But I think that they could do well, or serve well, if we put them in something like a museum. We could put them in a Civil War museum and be like, this is this general, which, he was on the losing side, and we disagree with what he stood for, but this is just showing you, like, his likeness. It's just a statue of him that was made at the time. Or, if they're the statues made in the 60s, you can also put them in a museum for segregation or for Jim Crow and say how disgusting it was that they used these statues as a way to push black people down and make them feel like they're not welcomed in a society.
Fairly viable. Like, I think that's a far better approach than, as you said, wasting them and throwing them, away or destroying them. Especially some of these statues. I heard that there was a Jimi Hendrix statue that was defaced, and I'm like, well, one, Jimi Hendrix is a black person. Not that it really matters to me. People that actually fought for the abolishment of slavery were also being defaced.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make sense to me that these quote unquote good people, at least especially for their times, whether they were racist or not, they still believe that blacks should be freed. Jimi Hendrix, obviously a very talented musician, And he had his flaws, of course, with drug abuse and whatnot, but whatever, it doesn't make him a bad person. And you're just destroying your own history. Same thing, I guess, with the Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben, I believe it is, the Uncle Ben rice or products. You're reducing the representation of black people in your own communities, which is counterproductive to what you're trying to advance. So just don't.
Another Aunt Jemima thing that I think this, like, I don't know if I want to say it bothers me, but like it gets to me more than like if someone just like, oh, Aunt Jemima's based off of a racist stereotype, so we're gonna get rid of that marketing, then fine, do your thing. But the thing that kind of struck me the most, where it kind of shows you that like this mob doesn't care who they harm, is that Aunt Jemima's direct descendants and family oppose her likeness being removed from the bottle. So, like, it's one of the things that I've noticed with a lot of the kind of left, the leftist,
Revolutionary groups.
I was thinking like the white guilt neoliberal types. One of the issues with them is they love to get offended on behalf of other groups, and the groups that they're offended on behalf of typically aren't as offended as they are. So for this example, they're like, oh, you're reducing this woman to nothing, and you're just using her as a stereotype. And her actual family, the people you would think would be ashamed the most if this was actually a bad thing and she was actually being exploited, are like, please don't take her off of this. Like, she was one of the first black models in America after slavery ended. And she made an honest living going across the country, making food for people, and telling stories to them. And yeah, she was portraying a character that may have been a stereotypical character. But if even her own family is like, please don't take this down, I think that's when it really deserves some second consideration. Because before that, like, I thought it was dumb to get rid of that imagery and to take her off because it does decrease representation in those communities. But to me, the biggest issue I have with it now is that her own family was like, please don't take her off this. And the leftist mob is still pushing to remove her, even though her actual family is like, please don't do this. So that was definitely the thing that kind of struck me the most with that. I haven't heard any words from the descendants of Uncle Ben or anyone else. But at least for Aunt Jemima, even her own family wishes that she would stay on that branding. So I definitely think that that's something that we should consider when doing this stuff, is considering who else we're affecting. And then there was also, you were saying monuments that were defaced that had nothing to do with what people were claiming. There was also a monument, I don't remember, I think it was Abraham Lincoln with like a slave on his left side or something, and he was like raising him
The
up.
Emancipation Monument,
Yeah, the Emancipation Monument. And that statue was endorsed and revealed by Frederick Douglass himself. And Frederick Douglass was a baller. And he was like, this statue is great. It's a great symbol. We need to maintain. I don't even like Lincoln. I think he's a piece of shit. But I think that statue put up by Frederick Douglass, well, not, I don't know if he put it up directly, but like
No.
endorsed, revealed by Frederick Douglass.
He did the keynote speech.
Yeah, like revealed by Frederick Douglass, and to just like rip that down and be like, because Lincoln, the dude who supposedly freed the slaves, that was the bad guy, so let's deface it. And then there was also, it was like the first, it was a marine infantry, and it was like the first infantry of all black people, and it's like a monument to them.
The
It's like,
Tuskegee Hellfighters, or is it?
no, it wasn't the Tuskegee Airmen. It
No,
was it
that
was
was, yeah,
it
I'm
was it
sorry.
was like 33rd Infantry or something. I don't remember the exact number, but it was the first all black infantry in the Marines, and some people went up and trashed the monument.
Yeah.
And it's like, what does that have to do. And then there was another one where it was another, like, all-black group, and they wrote, like, genocide on it. And it was like, no, they committed no genocide. Like, they were the people that you claim to be fighting for. And I think that's the issue with the mob, is that the mob, and, like, as much as we like to glorify some aspects of the French Revolution as, like, some badass revolutionaries, the guillotine really didn't stop until it got to the top. Like, the people that rolled out the guillotine ended up inside of it. And I feel like that's the same thing that happens with these, like, mobs. They're typically leftist mobs, because people on the right tend to have, like, jobs and lives and families and hobbies. And they can't
more,
just...
More quote-unquote productive members of society.
Yes, they can't just drop everything and just go rip down statues and throw bricks through people's windows at the drop of a hat, because they have, like, lives and stuff. But the issue with these mobs, whichever ideology they stand with, is they tend to eventually end up consuming even their own members. And I think that we're starting to see that with the vandalism, where I feel like a lot of people aren't even, they're not even paying attention to what they're vandalizing. They're just like, there's a statue, so let's go rip it down. And then you find out, like, oh, that was one of the first abolitionists who died trying to get rid of slavery. And you just destroyed that memory. Great, thank you, sir. And I feel like that's one of the big issues with the mob, is that it just consumes and consumes and consumes, and no one really knows why. I think it's a similar thing with the protests. I mean, we don't have to go too deep into the protests. I don't even know if we've covered them yet. I don't remember when the last time we recorded it was. Oh yeah, we did.
Very vaguely.
Very briefly. But basically, like, a thing with the protests I've noticed as well is a lot of the people don't seem to really know exactly what they're kind of pushing, like,
fighting for.
Yeah, they don't know what they're fighting for. They have an idea of what they're mad at. Like, they think they're mad at just the institution of police, and they think that that's it. And then they're pushing to defund the police, which I'm all on board for. But throughout all the time that I've had any toe in political discourse, the left was never, we should get rid of the police. The left was always, some conservative would say, well, I need my guns to protect myself. And they say, well, if someone breaks into your house, just call the police. And now they're saying, if someone breaks into your house, call the police, but also get rid of the police. And it just, it doesn't make any sense. So they're just really going off the deep end. But I definitely think that there's something there where these protests kind of just seem to be pushing on and on, where they don't really know exactly what they're pushing for. I think another thing, this will be the last point and then someone can hop in, but I feel like a lot of the riots are, it's a lot of built up rage from the lockdown, where you force people to stay in their house for 6 months. They can't get a beer with their friends. They can't watch sports. They can't do anything they would normally do. They can't go to, like, an ice rink and go to open skate or anything. Like, anything they would do to keep themselves level, they can't do any of that. And it's resulted in a lot of terrible things. I mean, there was, like, I think it was 1 month. It might have been 3 months. But there was, like, a 1 to 3 month stint where we had a year's worth of suicide attempts in, like, 1 to 3 months. And then also, child abuse is skyrocketing. Domestic abuse is skyrocketing. Addiction is skyrocketing. Drug abuse, mental like disorders and mental health is decreasing. I mean, people with anxiety and depression, the worst thing you can do is lock them inside and lock them away from interaction with other people. They're just going to go deeper into their conditions. So there's, like, addiction, alcoholism, child abuse, spousal abuse, poverty, unemployment, starvation, all these things are skyrocketing. So you have these people already in terrible conditions, and then you have the government come on the news and say, okay, if you want to go outside and protest, that's okay. If you want to go out and protest for Black Lives Matter, that's okay. If you want to protest for
the lockdown,
to end the lockdowns, or you want to go to the bar, you're going to kill everyone.
You just want a haircut.
yeah, you're going to kill everyone with COVID, but if you go to these protests with hundreds of thousands of people, you're totally safe. COVID is on side of Black Lives Matter. But if you're protesting for something else, then COVID's coming for you. And it's basically politicizing science, which is kind of weird.
Anti-science, which is anti-science.
It is anti-science, but it's also a weird thing to see, especially from the left, because that you would think that would be a right thing. Because everyone's always like, oh, these dumb conservatives, and they're like, they don't know science because they believe in God, and they don't think evolution happened, and they think that there's two genders, and they don't know science. They deny global warming. So you would think the right would be the ones politicizing science. But no, it's moved over to the left. It's like another party switch. It's really weird.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure. Kind of strange as well, because like Malcolm X, who was like, you were bringing up there, the kind of the white liberal kind of complex. Like Malcolm X, who was such a massive role model in like the black and like left-wing community, like even he spoke about like the white savior complex, like all these white saviors coming to the rescue, like being offended on behalf of all these minority groups who realistically, like the majority of them don't care, like about like Aunt Jemima, like doesn't really directly affect them. You know, it's not, they're not walking down the street and harassed by a cop because of Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, the worst thing to the black population is the moderate white liberal. That I was resonated by Malcolm X and Eric Singer of Backwards. So,
good band.
Yes, very good band.
You might have to look up their lyrics on Genius to read along. They're pretty.
Yeah.
They're pretty scholarly.
Yeah. But yeah. White liberals are the, can I say scum of the earth? Is that
sure? Yeah, politically
correct?
I think so. I think it fits. I mean, Malcolm X himself said that. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said something along the lines of like, the most dangerous group in America is white progressives or something along those lines.
Yeah, something of that nature.
And he ain't wrong.
Not at all.
There's kind of another thing as well that's kind of like stirring up from like more like extreme elements within the right, like, you know, your typical like Nick Fuentes supporters, like not your typical conservatives, like borderline kind of, dare I say, fascists, or like, you know, your extreme nationalists. And
I mean, typical, Nick like, Fuentes, he took a political quiz online, and then he was like reading through, he was like, yeah, so it says I'm pretty conservative. And then over here it says that I believe in a strong nation. And then he gets to the bottom and he's like, what? Because it says your closest ideology is fascism. So, yeah, you could probably say fascism. That's probably pretty fair.
He's made jokes about it in the past. But overall, I think there's kind of this consensus there where they're seeing all these statues being torn down. And, like, they're seeing there's a lot of videos coming up of, like, gangs of black people going out and like targeting white people. Now they're obviously being shared so much, but I think they're being kind of overhyped,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think the majority of black people genuinely are going out hunting white people. I think it's just something used to like there are cases of it happening and it's horrific. What you're seeing is, I was seeing some posts about it on Instagram. It's like they're criticizing the racism part of it. They're saying it's bad that they're doing it, but the best way to respond to it is literally fighting fire with fire. So you're seeing this kind of like this weird, like almost emboldenment. Like there was this group, the Patriot Front, I think during lockdown, I'm not sure if it was during lockdown, but they literally made some like all these propaganda videos, and like they're full on fascists. Like they use the fascias, which is the symbol like used by Mussolini in the American flag as like a weird kind of design. And it's just so strange to see. Like, it's like you see like when the extreme left, like the mob that you're talking about, when they do something like tear down statues and go on protests, and Antifa is like becoming more active, you see like an equal reaction from like the authoritarian right.
Weird. That's their main recruiting tactic, because as you there?
Yeah.
There was like a background noise that cut out, so I don't know if you were there, because there's like a constant humming. But yeah, that's like their main recruiting tactic. Because as I floated around on Politigram, I've spoken to pretty much any ideology you could imagine, except for the really wacky ones. Like, I haven't met like a sincere Pussadist yet, but like agorism, egoism, anarcho-communism, anarcho-syndicalism, mutualism, third positionist, fascism, Nazism, Stalinism. Like, I've talked to everyone, and the white supremacist like recruitment method is they go around and say, like, look at what they're taking from you, and they're like, they're ripping down your history.
Being replaced.
Yeah, they're ripping down your history, they're ripping down your tradition, they're beating your people in the streets, and that's the tactics that they use. So they do end up feeding each other, and you end up with a reactionary nightmare. And then as the right gets emboldened, I've found a couple black supremacist pages, and there was...
Yeah, there's actually a few in Crop Mill.
Yeah.
There's an old picture that was around, and it was really poorly drawn, but it's a guy on the right side, and he has on like a Confederate tank top and a Confederate hat, and then the guy on the left has a Malcolm X shirt and dreads on and like the red, black, and green hat, and he has like the Malcolm X logo, and they're locked arms, and it says like, I got you, brother, and it's like, what the establishment truly fears is like racial unity. And I found a black supremacist page where the black guy it was the same picture, but he photoshopped the guy's arm up with a gun, and he was shooting the white dude in the head, and it was like, what we really want. And then it was this whole, and I went in the comment section, the whole thing was like, yeah, kill all white people. Like, it was, like, I've been on white supremacy pages, and it was the same exact thing, except it was just black supremacists. But they were using the same language, they had the same ideals, and it was just crazy to see that firsthand. But those two, they end up stoking each other up, because you see... you just go to like a young disenfranchised white kid and you're like, oh, they're gonna give, you could score better on a test than someone with darker skin than you, and the kid with darker skin is gonna get into college at a cheaper price than you because of affirmative action, and they're cheating you there, and someone can just say that you touch them and they'll ruin your whole career, someone can say that you said the n-word 20 years ago and your whole world collapses, and they just embolden these disenfranchised kids to be like, oh, you're right, all these black people or all these Jewish people or all these Hispanic people are out to get me, I have to get them first. And then that creates another reaction on the minority side, and it just stokes each other's fires until there's like a full-out race war in the streets.
Even in here in Ireland, even in the county that I live, there's one racially charged attack. It was, I think it was like kind of like a black gang, like really young kids now, like, and I think they stabbed some kids. Like, he's fine now, obviously, but they stabbed one kid, and then in the next county over, it was a similar attack, and people were literally like, it's so mad to see, because it would never, like, something like that wouldn't happen in Ireland. Now it might happen the reverse way, there might have been, you know, charged black attacks, but you wouldn't see like black supremacists in Ireland until now. It was more like, it was probably young kids, so there's not like too much to worry about it, but it was just so weird to see, especially after the whole like George Floyd incident and all the protests and stuff. It's like both sides, like both supremacist groups who are equally as despicable, like they're becoming so much more emboldened, they're looking to the future of like this race war kind of thing, which is just like so like mental.
Yeah, there's a I don't know if he's just like an ethno-nationalist, or if he's like economically as well, if he's a fascist, like I don't know exactly where he stands, but he's definitely into the like racial identitarian stuff, and he's actually in Ireland as well, unless it's just your secret Politigram account. But I
yeah, it's me. I'm a secret fascist.
Crypto fascism.
Don't tell anyone, please.
Well, you're not going to be happy when you find out where this podcast goes. But dude, there's like a whole six people that are going to find out that you're a crypto fascist. Your life is
over.
They all
promise not to tell anyone, please.
Yeah, we'll make them promise. Okay, six of you, don't tell anyone that Johnny's a fascist. But yeah, so anyway, it's like an it's
taken out of context 20 years from now.
I'm so screwed 20 years from now. They're like, excuse me, what is this?
It's in a fascist Irish account, and he's taught, and he always posts about how, like,
there's so many of them.
The black people are coming over to Ireland and they're like attacking all the white kids just because they're white, and they're all like, they're all animals, and they're all attacking people, and they're being flooded in by the Jews so they can, like, just overpopulate there and then, like, water out the white of Ireland, and they're trying to make Ireland
sounds like black-pilled.
Yeah, it's basically Irish black-pilled is basically what this account is.
They actually have, like, noticed there's some article that there's, like, this massive, like, push for, like, far-right-wing extremism. Now it's mainstream media, so it could be like utter horseshit, but I was even talking to this, like, this boomer American, and he was like, he was a marine, he was like an ex-marine, he's pure like typical FUD, and he was like Irish American, so he's like, I have as much like interest in Ireland as you do, and he kept going on about like your country's being flooded with like African immigrants, and I was like, you don't live here, like what are you talking about, like it's so mental. And they, in terms of like Irish fascist accounts, I was talking to another Irish anarchist about it, and there's literally, like, there is a fair amount. It's just so weird to see. They, like, promote this, like, Gaelic Aryan race, and it's just so cringe.
The gay Aryans. Like, oh, no.
Literally. The Gaelians.
I don't know how gay Aryans would work. They're not, it's not like they can... No,
it's like a Gaelic gene or anything.
Gaelic.
No, not gay Aryans.
Oh.
It's like, oh no.
I thought you said gay Aryan.
No, it's like Irish, Scottish, and like Welsh.
I literally heard it's all these gay Aryans.
I mean, to be fair.
I thought you were just like insulting them. I didn't know you meant gay Aryans.
To be honest, fucking, God, they are.
Hey, I'm half Aryan.
You're half gay?
No. I think that's just called being bi, but no, I'm not. I'm 90% into ladies.
90%? Are you giving yourself a 10% confidence interval?
Have you ever seen Ben Affleck?
No, I don't think he's that much.
Oh, but you have seen him.
Well, yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, have you seen him? And you were like, no. No, I'm a Hispanic ladies man. I'm not Hispanic. I like Hispanic ladies. That could have been perceived wrong. Right. I'm very white. I'm mostly French and Irish.
There's some fascist listening, just taking notes. Trying to work out your genealogy record. Like, is he okay?
Oh no, of course he's not, since he's dating French, a Hispanic.
French, female. Irish, English, German, Swiss, and Czech. That's
you know,
Balkan.
genetically he's fine, but the fact that he had the audacity to date outside of his race.
I'm a dirty race mixer.
They
don't like that.
They're the worst kind of people.
If this gets taken out of context, we are sold on.
Yeah, they just get mad that we make beautiful children.
Race mixers suck ass. Is that a good way to break the out of context chain?
I do, but that's not what we're talking about.
Fuck, anti-race mixers suck ass. Oh, I gotta stop drinking.
Yeah, probably. We gotta get back to statues. Oh, so Johnny, what's going on with statues over there? Do you have anything going on? Do you have statues?
We do have the occasional statue. there have been some like the main equivalency with Confederates. Now, considering the Confederacy only lasted 5 years, but the struggle for Irish independence has been going on for 800 years, thanks to all the British people listening for that.
Northern Ireland, bro.
Fuck Northern Ireland. But mainly the IRA. Like, as an organization, like IRA members who've been glorified. There's one in particular in Dublin that the Taoiseach, who's our equivalent of like the president, was considering taking down. And it was of an IRA member who collaborated with the Nazis. Now, you might be surprised to hear that, but that's because during World War II, obviously the Nazis were fighting Britain, and what was left of the IRA saw it as an opportunity. There's always this quote about, a quote from Project Pierce, England's struggle is Ireland's opportunity. So he collaborated with the Nazis and waged a bombing campaign during World War II. But he has a statue, and people are saying, well, he's with the Nazis, he should be taken down. But there's not that much going on here. I think they took down one or two, but like nothing major, because I think there are so many Irish Republicans more so than SJWs here.
Lucky.
But then if you look over at the UK, you've got like Winston Churchill, like he's getting, like his thing got boxed up, which looked really weird.
Good.
What about Thatcher?
Thatcher, I don't know if they made any statues. I don't think so. I think it's because she's a woman, she got away with that.
Oh.
Oh, okay. That's
she's like, ooh, ultra feminist.
That intersectionalism.
Literally. But I think they just took down some like lords and stuff.
Winston Churchill should have been boxed up a long time ago. And I don't mean the statue, I mean him.
I think he was.
I think he is in a box.
No, I meant before he was prime minister.
Oh.
Oh, we would never have been that lucky.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe if you guys did your job. The IRA, I mean.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Do you hear, listeners, the amount of racism that goes on here, the amount of anti-Irish sentiment. They had an English guy on here, and I was like, he'll be the racist one. Not at all. It's the Americans. Most racist group on the planet.
What's wrong with the IRA?
Good question. I mean, they're obviously a terrorist group. Please don't arrest me. Guard a special branch. I don't like the IRA.
Evil. I don't like the socialism, but I like the rest.
Okay, the FBI aren't going to arrest you for liking the IRA.
Good.
They're going to arrest me. I'm going to get fucking... I won't last in prison. Like, bitch, I should. I'm not going to last in prison.
I won't last either.
You're probably some fucking scrawny kid, aren't you?
Hey, we're trying to change that every day. 12-week program, muscle gain. I've improved so much.
Protein
I'm better than what I was. But if I go to prison, boys, like, nah, it's over for me.
Your little bussy is not gonna last.
My bussy is just done for. I'm telling you now, I will run.
Well, you can't. You're in jail.
Where are you gonna go?
Other jail? I don't know.
What do you mean, tell the warden?
I'll just act crazy and get put in
the warden will do it too.
No.
Alright.
Wasn't this about statues? How did we get to meeting raped by a prison warden?
That's how our podcast works, dude. Haven't you listened? No, this is what happens every time. We just staying on topic is none of our fortes.
That's true.
My brain doesn't work right because I'm unmedicated hyperactive attention deficit disorder since fourth grade.
I don't know. Joey, I'm not autistic, but I don't know.
Joey's either autistic or is just not good at talking, and he's just a good writer, and he can't stick to eloquent speaking skills. And then Johnny's Irish. So, I mean, we just have problems all around.
Okay. Oh.
All right. So earlier you were saying, James, that we were comparing, or at least the potential for the Venezuelan, I guess. Call it replacement program.
Yes.
With the potential replacement program that could happen in the U.S. Do you think that's a viable thing? And if so, would you want to explain that a little bit
more? Yeah, the full explanation, there was a girl from Venezuela that was speaking, and she basically said that it's just some dumb statues, why would she care? Well, the last time they tore down the statues was when she was a teenager in Venezuela, and she didn't care. First it was the statues, then they changed the street signs, then they changed the school curriculum, then they started banning movies, then they took away everyone, then they disarmed all the citizens. And then after that, they just started slaughtering everyone, as we're seeing now. Obviously, there was some mass starvation in there and some other fun stuff. But yeah, I definitely think there's a strong case to be made that that's kind of what's going on here. And the two things that I would see as facts that it could be happening in America, well, there's a couple things. One, our society has consistently shifted left, not right. If you look at the Overton window, the Republicans today are fighting for what Democrats were fighting for in the 80s. And we just continue to shift left. And whether that's good or bad, that's where we've been going. And it doesn't seem like we might eventually turn around, because society tends to go in a pendulum. So I think we're getting to the end of the left and we're going to start to swing back. I do see more like some not in a good way. They're going towards the authoritarian fascist type things. But I do see a lot of kids in like the current high school time. There's a growing amount of them that are taking hard right-wing positions, and they're doing it as a reaction to where the mainstream society has gone. So I do think that we may be on our way to swing back, but currently we've been pushing left and left. So I'd say that that's one sign that we're going to head more towards some sort of left authoritarian system. Also the fact that there was, my dad worked with a guy, I believe he was from Poland. And this was back in like the late 80s. And he was like, your country is moving towards socialism. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, dude, I saw it happen in my country, and everything that happened in my country, you guys are doing the same thing. You're headed down a bad path. And we haven't split from that path. And then the last thing I would say that was interesting is I saw, I believe this was back in the 20s, but the head of the American Communist Party said that we won't take America under the name of communism. Communism is already a bad word in America. We will take America under the names of socialism and democracy. Progressivism. Yeah.
Progressivism.
Yeah. Yes. So he said, like, we won't take America under the name of communism, but take it we will. And it looks like it's working. And it's that, like, kind of Marxist destruction of history and society, so they can put their own new order in. I definitely see us pushing towards that. I'm losing faith more and more that we'll be able to stop it. We might have to just shoot our way through instead of like backing out. I don't think that we're voting our way out of this. I think that we're going to have to come out of the other side, after collapse or civil war or some other terrible thing happens.
Civil wars aren't viable because of not only the power vacuum, just and also because it's illegal, James. We don't.
Well, no, I'm not advocating. I'm against it. I don't think this would be good. I'm saying that if you look at the way our society is going, I don't think we can vote our way back to freedom. I'm saying that what I think is inevitably, yeah, that's true. But what I'm saying is, I don't think a civil war is good. I don't think a bunch of dead people is good. I don't think a bunch of blood shed is good. I don't think our entire generation having PTSD because their best friend just threw a grenade through their window because they disagree politically, I don't think that's good. I'm not advocating for it, and I don't condone it. But what I'm saying is that if you look at the way American culture is evolving, we are pushing more and more towards that civil war kind of feeling where the two sides, even though their ideas are getting closer and closer, like that's like the way that that's like what politicians have been doing for a while, where their positions have been getting closer and closer. Like if you look at the Democrats and Republicans, the way they actually vote, they're very similar. So you have the Democrats, like, you have the people, so we'll say, like, Democrat and Republican citizens are fighting each other harder and harder and more aggressively than they were over smaller and smaller differences. So eventually, and it just makes it easier to rule them because everyone's divided, and it's easier to rule people that are divided. So the goal of the politicians is just, okay, well, we'll get everyone divided, we'll get everyone to hate each other, and then all we have to do is just walk in and we can just rule them and take whatever we want, because they're going to be fighting each other instead. And you basically have that now, where Republicans and Democrats, like, they'll be like, oh, we need a 35% income tax, and if you want more than that, then you want to destroy our entire economy. And then you have the Democrats saying, we need a 37% income tax, and if you don't agree with that, you want children to starve to death, and you hate all people. And they're just fighting each other more and more aggressively over smaller and smaller differences, where it's eventually going to be, we need a 36% tax done by a red guy, and if you don't agree, then you're a monster. No, we need a 36% tax done by a blue woman, or you're a monster. And they're going to be fighting to the point where they're killing each other over the same ideas, but they've been tricked to think that they're widely different when they're not. And I think that that is going to be the downfall, when the politicians are able to overlap left and right more than they already have.
So do you, to add on to that, would you think that the Civil War, I guess, push is intentional, or is it just a byproduct?
I can't tell. I don't know. I'm not like an expert on this stuff.
Because
it depends how conspiratorial you want to go. I mean, I've seen some level of evidence on both sides.
Yeah, because that would mean that the BOGG or BGGO or fucking
you got it right the first
time. BOOG would be counter impol. Is that what it is? Or
COINTELPRO.
Yes.
I don't necessarily think that aspect of it. I don't. If the Civil War stuff is intentional, I don't think it's the fringes that are the intentional part. I don't think that, like, the black supremacists increasing and the Boog Boys and the 3%ers having a regrowth and white supremacists growing and Antifa doing more damage than usual. Antifa might be hired out. I really don't know. I've seen some evidence on both sides. Now there may be infiltrators in all these groups. I really don't know. I don't know all the answers. I basically have a feeling deep in my, I don't know if it's like my gut or in my heart, but I've had this feeling for years that something catastrophic is going to happen in like less than 5 years. And I've had this feeling for a while. Like 10 years ago, I don't know, 15 years seems, I can't imagine anything happening after that. Like, it just goes dark when I think about it. And I don't think I'm a psychic, but I feel like there's something coming that's going to be really, really bad. And just looking at what's going on, the Civil War seems to be the most likely thing that will happen. And like I said, I don't want one. Like, if I had it my way, the politicians and the federal bankers and all the other people, they would just leave us alone and walk away. That's all I want. I just want to be left alone. But they insist on trying to control us. And that's where they're going to run into problems.
I think as well, a lot of people, like, when they're thinking of, like, the big, like, cataclysmic event, especially in the liberty community, they just consider it, like, libertarians and anarchists against the state. But I think what will happen, I think you're more along the lines, like, you're more correct, James. I think, like, it'll be more a cataclysmic event. It'll be set off by something, and you're not just going to have, like, libertarians and anarchists. You're going to have fascists, you're going to have communists, you're going to have ANCOMs, you're going to have all these, like, disaffected, like, frustrated groups. Like, you saw people like the whole meme of Gen Zers going into protest. People were so enthusiastic and ready to literally fight police. Like, and that was just a small protest. Like, it could get so much worse. And like the protests, I don't think the protests will develop into anything like that much more malicious than they already have. But I think looking further down the line, like 5 years or something, like you can tell there's like kind of an energy there similar to what there was around the time of the rise of fascism or the rise of communism in Russia. Like it's kind of like a revolutionary spirit. And people don't even realize it's happening.
Well, all right. So to take from Bow to the Hydra and Off the Grid, there are two pages on Zuckgram, and both of them essentially say something's going to happen, whether it's a collapse of the political economy or like an EMP or something of that nature, because the U.S. infrastructure is trash. It's a, I think it's a D plus.
A quick interjection. Supposedly, I saw this on. It was originally on like the alternative news sources, and then even like Fox and CNN were covering it. But there's rumors that China is planning an EMP strike that would. Experts are predicting it would kill like 90% of the American population.
That would make sense. And I guess that's what Off the Grid was pointing to. Obviously, if there's an EMP, then the political economy collapses. You can't trade goods with a dead car or a dead truck or anything like that. I mean, you can, but it's a lot harder. So to believe that, I mean, that would definitely cause a civil war because you're struggling for resources at that point. And people that align closest to you are your allies, people that don't are your enemies. It's that simple. Obviously, your family comes first, friends after, and everything else branches off from that. And that's the scary part, I guess. That in a matter of a week at most, we have people fighting each other, their neighbors, their friends, their loved ones, just for a piece of bread. I mean, to take from the communist, fighting for bread. It's sad.
Even in times of peace, they fight for bread.
Yes. Peace has never been achieved, but yes, in times of, our peace, we fight for bread.
Oh, I meant the communists, because they don't have enough food.
Oh. Okay, that's fair.
But, I definitely agree. And then another thing is there were, China just bought, like, 7,000, I think? Like, 7,000 acres of land in Texas. And and I don't know why they'd be doing that unless launching an EMP and then invading is a plan of theirs. In which case, what would you think would be the ANCAP non-aggression solution to that? If you know that someone is intending on wiping out your friends and family and invading you, do you have to just sit by and wait until they do? No. would that be the NAP answer to that?
No.
What would give you the justification to preemptively attack?
Simple ethics. If someone has reasonable knowledge that someone is going to aggress against them, then go for it. That's what I would say. I mean, but then again, it's one guy.
I agree. I was just wondering, because you said that, like, if someone shoots a gun into a crowd and doesn't hit anyone, they haven't committed a crime, and there's no actions can be taken there. So I was thinking, if shooting into a crowd of people and not hitting anyone isn't justifying force in response, then I didn't see how thinking that another country might be planning to wipe your country out would be enough justification.
Well, thinking and knowing are true.
That's true.
Like having evidence to suggest that they will rape, or not rape, that was taken from the three S's. Having knowledge that someone would EMP you and use that chaos in order to invade you, that's a justification to eliminate whatever threats are on your soil. I don't agree with going outside of your own jurisdiction.
But what if that's where the EMP would be launched from?
What, like from space?
I don't know how
you can deal with that.
No, from China. Like, what if they just shoot it from there to here?
That would still require high altitude EMPs, which are very likely, don't get me wrong, but that would still require China to launch them, not from Texas, whether they bought 7,000 acres or not.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying that if they launch, like you said, that you can eliminate a threat on your soil, but what if the threat is coming directly from China to here? Is that enough of an excuse to preemptively attack, like, the Capitol building of China or something? I would never recommend flattening civilian cities like we did in Japan, but if there's, like, a way to specifically take out the specific leaders that are planning a specific attack.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if you could specifically target that building and that building alone, then sure. I'm fairly certain that the main status building of China, of Beijing, is not very surrounded by urban areas in terms of, let's say, a normal drone strike that could take out a large portion of the building without harming the civilians. So, I mean, sure, whatever. Doesn't matter to me.
Not that we would ever do that, China, because we know you're listening.
Yeah.
probably owns Discord by now too.
Don't trust the Americans. They're all liars. They're all liars and thieves.
I agree. Well, at least the American government is.
True.
What's that shocky sound that keeps going in there?
That is.
That's the push to talk.
Shame John's mic.
Oh.
Like he has to get a mic proper.
Proper mic. Like proper 12.
Yeah. He has to get a proper mic.
It's garbage.
Not just headphones with a mic. Because having them close to the phone apparently creates some sort of interference.
Yeah, I want to get a nice setup, because I'm hoping that we're going to do this podcast for a while. I'd also like to get into some content making, into other kinds of content other than just podcasts. This is normally brainstorming we do off recording, but I mean, hell, why not? If people have listened 9 episodes in, then let's let them hear it. But one thing that I heard as a recommendation that I think could be a very interesting idea is to, if we're able to find areas of heavy dialogue where there's not a lot of dead space and it's just us talking back and forth, and it's like funny or entertaining in some way, we could make like an animation for that and then put that like 2-3 minutes of video with the animation, and we would have like a comical video that we could post on YouTube, and it would be easier to share than getting someone to listen to an entire hour-long episode. So I think some stuff like that could be something interesting for us to eventually get into that could allow us to have a wider audience. Because there's not a huge amount of people. I mean, I definitely know a decent amount of people who listen to podcasts, but not as many as watch YouTube or anything like that, or use other social medias. We could bring them down to a minute and bring them down to a minute and then post them on like Instagram and stuff like that. And we could get a lot more traction that way. And I think that that's just one thing we can look into. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff I'd like for us to do. Like, also branch into like that stuff I've said on YouTube, where it's just like we don't even have to talk about politics. It'll probably drip in every once in a while, but just like mess around and just play the audio over like just random gameplay footage and just that kind of stuff. I think we could do pretty well with that kind of stuff too. I feel like we got the vibe.
Yeah, definitely.
To the listeners, this is just random brainstorming. Do we have any final points, or is that probably going to be a wrap? Because I feel like we covered most of what we wanted to talk about.
I guess I would just say that history is, that's it.
That's me. The danger. Okay. I think it's also being repeated as well in certain aspects.
It's being repeated and replaced.
Yes.
Based on lessons that the sadists have learned. So,
and both of those are dangerous.
That they can learn that, but they can. Just the ones that they want. So, that's basically it. Johnny, any final points?
No, not really. I think we've said everything relating to the topic anyway.
Alrighty.
I think the best thing to do, though, for our listeners is just, like they know that themselves anyway from Playground, is just, like, know your shit. Like, even me now, like, being a scrawny kid, like, I've literally started working out, like, just trying to build muscle. Just small shit like that.
Like, yeah, I'm trying. I am as well. I'm also trying to... I had an arm injury for a while, but I finally got the go-ahead to start doing some pull-ups and push-ups again, so I'm trying to get back in shape. When I was doing martial arts, I was, like, 145, 150. I just stepped on the scale. I'm, like, 175, and I lost all the muscle I gained when I was doing martial arts, so I probably put on, like, 40 pounds of fat, so I really got to start. I used to do 70 push-ups in a minute. Now I can do 10 total.
Probably what they're trying to say is prepare as if you had to fight for your life. That's all.
Yes, sir.
I
get a gun legally.
Yeah, legally, because nothing illegal on this podcast. We would never advocate anything like that.
And it's also really bad if people start doing door-to-door searches and you're found with a weapon that the government doesn't know about. They will lock you in a cage for 10 years, if not kill you on the spot. It's not good.
I mean, just
and if you're like me and you live in a country where you can't buy a gun legally, just fucking hope for the best.
Then get some pipes and a nail and do some plumbing, you know, or get a printer. Yeah. I'm sure you guys can get printers out there in Ireland.
You can probably printer. Shit, you actually probably could, Johnny.
There are multiple. The one I'm thinking of, I think it's called the FCG39, I think, or something along those lines.
Something and it's that I think Control Pew brought that up.
Yes.
Any feds listening, by the way, it's already too late. I've already had it.
Yeah, but it's the FCG the FCG39. It's a 3D printed gun where normal 3D printed guns, you still need to buy an upper from a real gun. You need the trigger mechanism. Like, you mostly print the lower receiver and maybe the handle or the grip. But
I mean,
with
the lower is the gun part. So
yeah, true. But the upper receiver and everything. But with the FCG39, I think it's the letters. I know it's F something something 39. And it's a G and a C. You gotta mess around with which order they're in. But it's all 3D printed, and then the parts that are not 3D printed are just normal non-weapon parts that you can buy from Home Depot. So it's like a piece of piping you can buy from Home Depot that is not a gun piece. So
I saw them firing it. It's looks kind of like a
SMG. It fires well.
Like an Uzi.
Yeah, it does. It actually fires well. It fires really well, and there's not a single gun piece on it that's not printed. So you can, it's great for people that live in countries where it's hard to get your hands on one. The only thing you have to worry about is the ammo, and there's people working on 3D printing that too. And you can buy the ingredients for gunpowder off of Amazon for like $50 for a lot of it. So
fucking hell.
You can get the gunpowder and 3D print the rest, and you're set. Yeah, that's
Johnny,
that was the goal. Yeah, we're trying to help you out, bro.
Trying to bring back the good old days.
there were never any good old days. It was just 800 years.
I meant good old days of trying to resist.
When you were telling the black and tans to come out and fight you like a man.
Show the medals from Flanders, like.
That's the only Yingling I drink, bro. Black and tan. So.
I had a couple of those in my house too. Nice. That was my grandpa's favorite. Anytime I was at his house, he would always drink it. So after he passed, I found that he had a 1.5 12 packs left in the basement. So I grabbed a couple and drink them in his honor from time to time.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm not too into standard Yinling, but the black and tans are pretty good.
I am terribly sorry, Johnny, but I.
He drank a Guinness.
I'm sorry. I'm glad that you knew Johnny.
Mainstream little Dublin boy.
I had a Guinness drought when we first started talking, so I'm sorry. I don't have anything better. And I don't think you ever answered me in the group when I asked what the beers you were talking about were. I was going to pick them up.
Oh, Murphy's and Beamish. I don't know if they're in America. They probably are somewhere, like Boston, probably.
This is a Guinness beer, but it's a milk stout, and it's brewed in Boston. Brewed in Baltimore, I'm sorry.
Not at St. James Gate?
No, it's brewed in Baltimore. So I try to justify it a little bit.
I do like the Guinness Extra Stout. That's the one that I will admit is tasty. The normal Guinness is kind of watery to me, but the Guinness Extra Stout is very nice.
Definitely.
My actual overall favorite drink, which is kind of ironic, isn't even Irish. It's fucking German. Jägermeister. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's your favorite?
Oh, like a fucking drinker for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Before I turned 21, that was like my favorite, and then I had a lot of it one time.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm so young. I'll probably grow out of it. I just love it.
Yeah, I grew out of it. I grew into whiskey, but I'm starting to grow out of just all alcohol. I'm starting to get a little
teetotal.
I'm just trying to take the healthier route, you know. I don't think I'm gonna become one necessarily, but I'm starting to look into stoicism and such, and a more
bit of Marcus Aurelius.
Not a more conservative lifestyle necessarily, but Joey, how would you describe it? You're more of a philosophy guy.
What's that?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a conservative lifestyle, but it's just kind of stoic. Minimalist.
Stoic in that you.
But a lot of people don't know what that word is.
Okay, I guess refined.
Yeah.
Refined lifestyle.
Frugal.
Yeah.
Focus. Frugal. That'll work.
Focus on your fitness.
Frugal
on your
focus. Yeah.
Your mind, your mental health, your physical health. Focusing on not indulging in stuff too much that's not good for you. That kind of stuff. I'm starting to lean more towards that way because I've gone a little crazy with some stuff in my day. Yeah. So, I'm starting to. I still have. Half a bottle of Tullamore Dew, half a bottle of Laphroaig, half a bottle of Old Forester Rye. So I'm probably going to try and get through those, but I don't know if I'll be buying any more alcohol for a while. I might buy a six pack of beer every once in a while. I normally have one beer when we record just to have something to drink with me, but I am trying to cut back on all that stuff. I'm trying to eat healthier, you know, cut some sugar out, cut unnecessary carbs out, cut out junk food. Just live a healthier, better life. Because there have been times where I've gone through those phases where I live healthier. And when you live, I don't want to say recklessly, but when you you drink a lot, if you smoke a lot of whatever you like to smoke, you eat a lot of junk food, you're happy while you're doing those activities. But when you're not that happy. And you're kind of miserable, and that's. I'm not saying I'm miserable. I'm not saying anyone has to worry about me or anything. I'm fine. I'm working through everything, but I do think that when you live the more stoic life, you're happier overall. Like, yeah, you don't get, it's more consistent. You don't get a burst of happiness when you eat like 6 scoops of ice cream, or when you like knock back 6 beers. Like, you are happy during those times, but then the rest of the times when you're not constantly bringing yourself pleasure, you're really not all that happy. So I'm trying to work more towards the being happier and more fulfilled with the way I live my life than the things I consume.
So a more natural sort of holistic way of going about life.
Yeah, and then also more like minimalistic and not trying to be vain or indulge myself in things that really aren't necessary. Just kind of, you know, just being, I guess, would be it. Just being.
That's a good way of going about it.
Yeah, so I've been leaning a lot more towards that stuff. So
that's fair.
I grew out of Jaeger. That being said, I have like the really small bottle, like the flask size, in my freezer at the moment. Haven't touched it in a couple weeks.
Love them ones. But I think they're called Nagans here.
Oh yeah. Will you have a drink with me when we meet? That's
yes. The only thing, yeah, of why. Course.
Okay. Not of course. Much, obviously.
No. I'm not cutting anything off, because I've also done that. Not without. Well, yeah, I went a couple months without alcohol at one point. After I had a bad New Year's 2 years ago, and I did about 20 shots and threw up in a toilet. And I went 5 months without even thinking about alcohol after that, and then I started tossing it back again after that. So I do think that there's some moderation with all this stuff, where I've tried to cut out pretty much everything. There's been times where I completely cut out sugar, completely cut out alcohol, completely cut out like everything. And eventually, that doesn't seem to be as sustainable unless you really work up your discipline. But if you just go cold turkey on any of that stuff, you're gonna crash, and you're gonna end up like going back and eating a bunch of stuff, and it's just not gonna go well. So I definitely think that like living more not conservative in like the political way, but like conserving your resources and conserving your body and stuff, and living off of less, I'd like to work toward.
That's a very fair assessment.
Self-improvement. That's what we're about here at the Crossroads. The Crossroads of self-improvement is really what we're,
well, I mean,
what we're all about.
That's technically all libertarianism and probably anarchism is all about.
Is self-sustainability yourself. And
yeah,
self-improvement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, even if you do it with a group, you're still self-sustaining in that group.
Yeah.
So, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's, the one interesting, I didn't read this from Stirner, but it was someone else speaking about it, but they were, it was, like, the picture where there's, like, someone with a thumbs up, and then someone with a thumbs down, and it has, like, two different captions on the side. There was like the Drake one for a while, where it's like Drake is like pointing at it, smiling, and then the other one is like turning away. And the top one is like using egoism and a lack of morality in society as an excuse to be an asshole. And the guy was like, ugh. And then it was like using it to love and care from a true sense of compassion, not from a commandment or duty. And I think that, like I said, I haven't read too much of Stirner yet, but I do think that's one of the points of egoism that I do think is kind of virtuous, if you will, where he says, like, I love mankind, I love people, but I don't love because I'm commanded to. I don't love because a rule tells me to do so. I love because it brings me joy, and it's natural to me. And I think that's like the one part of egoism that I really like, of like, not, you don't do anything because someone tells you, do it because it makes you feel good. And I think that compassion is what makes you feel the best. So to feel the best, be compassionate, but be compassionate because it makes you happy, not just because someone told you that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that we covered statues, we covered prison rape, we covered egoism, we covered stoicism. I think this was a pretty good episode. So
I was not a fan of one of the topics that just left today.
Yeah, you know.
Which topic? I think it was regarding the institutionalized captivity, sexual assault.
Oh, the stoicism?
Stoicism. Yeah, severe problem with stoicism.
Yeah. That gets some of us. Some of us can't handle it.
One asshole. Such an asshole.
All right.
Roman Emperor.
So do you want to do the outro, Johnny?
Yeah, let him do it.
No.
Oh.
I refuse.
This has been the Crossroads of Liberty, and thanks for listening.